Chapter 1. Ruth walked down the narrow, crowded streets of Kir Harriseth, her mind and heart in turmoil. Her beloved husband, Mahlon, was dying of a lingering illness that had come upon him months earlier. She fought the sorrow and fear stirring in her. How would she live without Mahlon? She'd dreamed of living a long life with the man she loved, bearing his children, growing old with him. And now she suffered, watching him suffer. She grieved that there would never be children to carry on his name. But it was the new moon, and her mother was expecting her for her monthly visit. They would drink tea, eat the delicacies of her father's table, and talk about family matters. Ruth dreaded this visit. She couldn't keep her mind from her troubles, and she didn't want to hear what her mother thought was the cause of them. Poor Naomi. How could her mother-in-law bear another loss? 15 years ago, she'd lost her husband, Elimelech, and her younger son, Kilion, had died last spring. Would Naomi's faith in the God of Israel continue to give her peace? Or would she finally crumble beneath the crushing grief of losing her last son? O Lord God of Israel, hear our cry. From the time Naomi had told her about the true God, she had believed because she saw such peace in her mother-in-law. It was a peace that defied circumstances. Ruth had never seen such peace, certainly not in the house of her mother and father. She and Naomi had spoken often of God, especially when questions had arisen in Ruth's heart. And the answers had always come down to trusting God, obeying him, accepting his will, knowing there was a purpose in what was happening, even if they couldn't see it. But sometimes the pain was unbearable, and Ruth was afraid. Would she be inconsolable, like her sister-in-law Orpah had been when Kilion died last year? Wailing and rocking and refusing to eat until Ruth and Naomi were afraid for her health. Oh, Lord, don't let me be a burden to Naomi. Give me the strength to help her. When she reached her father's house, she took a deep breath, squared her shoulders, and knocked. A servant opened the door and smiled brightly. Ruth, come! She beckoned eagerly. Come! It was difficult to enter her father's grand house with its expensive furnishings and not make comparisons to the humble abode of her husband. Here, everywhere she looked, was the conspicuous evidence of wealth. Fine urns, rugs, beautifully colored linen curtains, low tables inlaid with ivory. She had grown up in this house and taken her father's wealth for granted. Then she met, fell in love with, and married a young Hebrew merchant who was having difficulty keeping the family business going and sometimes keeping food on the table. Her father and mother took great pride in their possessions, but over the years of living with Naomi, Ruth had come to recognize her own parents' poverty of spirit. There was a richness in Naomi's life that had nothing to do with the house she lived in or the material possessions she had. Ah, my beautiful daughter. Ruth's mother entered the room and embraced her. They exchanged kisses. Sit, my love. She clapped her hands, gave quick orders to a maiden, and sat on one of the plump scarlet and blue cushions. Do you notice anything new? Ruth glanced around. Was there a new table or wall hanging or rug? When she looked back at her mother, she saw her fingering a gold necklace. What do you think? It's beautiful, isn't it? A gift from your father. It's from Egypt. He's always been generous, Ruth said, her mind drifting back to Mahlon. He'd insisted she come today, insisted she leave him for a while. His mother was with him. Everything was fine. Go and enjoy yourself. But how could she? All she could think about was Mahlon, and how quickly